Then he said to me, I created the loneliness, the voids, the groan. This groan will capture the full face of God and will consume the earth.
My soul longs for you. My soul longs for you. Nothing else will do.
For joining us on Brenda Price Ministries podcast. Today we're starting a new series called The Groaning Creation. So buckle your seatbelts and get ready as evangelist Brenda Price tells us what the Bible means when it says all of creation is groaning for the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God.
I was on a fast January 2006. About halfway through the middle of this 21-day fast, I had a dream. It was more like a visitation, and it was more in my hearing than a visual. But I heard the words that the devil wants to quench the groan, so he feeds it. Well, I kind of understood what that meant, but of course I had to pray more and get more understanding. And maybe you're wondering what that means. So, you know, when I first got that word from the Lord, I was all alone. I'd gone in and shut in with the Lord and was seeking Him. And I was up in the mountains all by myself. And I began to study the word that He'd just given me and look up scriptures and find out what the word sighing, which is also the word groaning in many cases. I began to look up the meaning of that word sighing because somehow I knew it had to do with groaning. And so I began to put these scriptures together and it began to unfold before me the mystery of what God was trying to say. Although I more or less understood the what God was saying as a whole, but you know, God has layers of truth in everything He talks to you about. Every revelation you get, there are layers of truth. And it's up to you to look into those layers of truth so that you can get all the meat out of the sandwich, as it were. And I'm sure that even at this point, given this revelation to you, I'm still just scratching the surface. And maybe as you hear it, the Lord will add more layers to your understanding. And if that happens, please feel free to contact me and let me know what the Lord's revealed to you on my Brenda Price Ministries Facebook page or on our website testimonial page. But it's the message of the hour. And the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the more I realize that we're right smack in the middle of what He was saying here. Well, I don't want to belabor the point. Let's just go on with our understanding. The Lord is trying to convey to us what was on His heart. When He sends us a dream or an impression or a word, He is relating what is important to both Him and us. And we have to take the time to research it and fast and pray over our words so that He can peel back the layers that may be blinding us from our full understanding. One of the best ways I've found at working with Scripture, relating to whatever subject the Holy Spirit is leading us to look up the keywords in your concordance. You'll be surprised at the encrypted messages that He's placed in each one of these verses. And it can be great fun. It teaches you verses you may not be familiar with, and it gives Him a chance to relate to you through His written word. And there are many mysteries in the word of God. You'll never exhaust the mysteries and the revelations of the word of God. Never. It'll take us eternity to even touch the surface of it. But as you are discovering the layers of God's word through research, just look at yourself as a scriptural archaeologist. You know, for a lot of years I would receive things from the word, and I have notes and pads of notes, and I've ended up throwing away trash cans full at certain times because I had so many notes and so many revelations and so many thoughts that I didn't know what to do with them. And so my daughter always bemoans the fact that I threw a lot of them away. But still, even to date, I have lots of notes and things that the Lord has spoken to me. But I don't retain those after he gives them to me a lot of times. Sometimes they're impressed deep into me, but a lot of the things he tells me, I have to go back and revisit them, and then suddenly it comes back to me what the Lord was saying at that time. However, those I have not written down are lost to me unless the Lord brings it back. So I've made a decision to get a full meaning of what God is saying before I move on to excavate the next finding. Now, don't get me wrong, because I will record what I hear in my Bible reading and in my prayer life. I have a little book, or anymore lately, I record things that I hear because I have so many of these impressions. I'm very disorganized in that area, but I am trying to be more on the job. I rehearse what I do hear over and pray over them so that that I can try to retain them as much as possible. However, I need to take more time to develop the strongest words and find out the most necessary things. So I'm developing this message that I'm giving you even as I'm going. There's so much to say, so much that's been given to me during a lifetime. At the time of this recording in 2015, I am 63 years old, and I have not even began to put into print or into sermons, although I have thrown away thousands of sermon CDs and sermon videos and so many things, because for years I didn't know what to do with them. And I would never have time at this point in my life to really go through them and share them. So I'm trying to get some of the meat of what I feel is important for the hour we're in right now. And time is short, really short. So let's go on to a little more understanding on the groaning creation, because this is one of the most valid words. This word kind of really flows with my book, The Eternal Unveiling. They're really kind of one, but they kind of excavate different points of it separately. So there are a lot of scriptures that have the same meaning as the word groan. For instance, one of the scriptures we'll be looking at is Ezekiel 9:4. It says, "And the Lord said unto him, Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of men that sigh," which means groan, "and that cry," also that can mean groan, "for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof." So often the word sigh or cry can mean groan. And this study is inexhaustible. There are so many layers of depth to be found in this teaching. And as you read these books that I have, or you listen to the podcast, or you watch the YouTube videos, just know that God can reveal more to you out of what I'm saying. You have to go to God and say, "Lord, reveal these to me." One young lady who just got one of my books said, "I don't understand what it means." And I encouraged her to listen to the podcast and to be able to get before God with these revelations and ask God to open your understanding. Remember that to stay in union with our Creator, we are to feel as He feels. And this reaction translates into deeper prayer and speaking out when the Lord impresses you to. We are called to respond emotionally with our Lord. And one thing that is hard to understand is God's responses to things. For instance, He may allow a murderer to seemingly go unpunished. And then again, He says in one place, "I will laugh at their calamity." And He's speaking of the day that judgment falls on the rebellious. He will laugh, or it seems He is saying justice is served. So He sees things differently. But one thing's for sure, he is holy, and everything he says and feels is holy. Sometimes he looks for an intercessor to hold back his judgment, to intercede for the ones marked for judgment. He said to Moses that he was ready to wipe Israel out, make a new nation out of Moses. But Moses pled with God, and God repented of the evil he thought to do to his people. A lot of the groaning is merely intercession. And God had said to Moses, "Leave me alone that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them." Then Moses began to remind God of how he had delivered his people with a mighty hand. He reasoned that people would say that God had brought them out to destroy them. Then he began to remind the Lord of all his promises that he had made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so Moses besought the Lord on Israel's behalf. And the word besought can mean to grieve or make sick or cause weakness. This was an effective, that God did a strange thing. It says God repented. Well, the word repented here has several meanings, but the one that struck me the most was it can mean to sigh or to be sorry, to take pity and feel relieved. So we know that the word sigh also means groan in Aramaic, the original language that the Old Testament was written in. This is the language that is thousands of years old. So here we see God sighing or groaning. The only other place in Scripture that I am presently aware of that speaks of God's groaning is when Jesus groaned or sighed or cried at the grave of Lazarus. Remember that Jesus said that he only does what he sees the Father do. So we too should join with the Father when he sighs and when he groans and when he is made sorry by the acts of rebellious people. How does God awaken us to the fact that it is time to groan? Well, let me explain like this. One day when I was on a 3-day fast, the Lord said what I said at the beginning of this podcast. I created loneliness, emptiness, voids, longings, and desire that seems to never be filled. Well, I knew when he said this that these things seemed to be negative emotions, but he began to reveal that he uses these things as a call. He uses this void, this emptiness, as a call, kind of like when you walk to the refrigerator or you just have to get out of the house. The Bible talks about the deep calling unto the deep. You have a depth in you that goes beyond your soul realm. And this cry comes from a time, I believe, that your soul, when it was first created, it was unencumbered by a body at that point. I believe he created the soul, or the spirit, rather, before he put you in a body. And we were first created by God, I believe, in his presence. Something in us, I believe with all my heart, recalls this great new beginning and the fullness of joy that it held. Whatever time we were in God's presence before entering our human body is forever etched in our spirit. And the time we spent in his hands as he formed us, the spirit cannot forget. And it would be some time before we would get that close to our Father again. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And we have desired this ever since. And our soul is on a search for what we don't understand, but yet we long for. And that's why you see so many people getting lost into drugs and other immorality things, because their soul is searching for something it cannot find on this earthly plane. But the diagram of our past, the DNA of our spirit, has its memory in full form. As you get closer to the Lord, it begins to unwrap itself to you. And we have desired this clothing, this glory, ever since we left his full presence. In our feeble and desperate search, we always seem to feel like we've come short of it. Why are we always so needy? We can have 100 cars, houses, suits of clothes, and still we groan. We can be rich, we can be poor, we can be young, old, beautiful, homely, smart, dumb. We can eat, and we're still not filled. We thirst, and we're still dry. We still groan. That is why we look for that crazy missing part, like Keith Green once said. But God is too obvious of an answer, so we see him as abstract and far away, and we don't know how to reach him, so we continue our search with our five senses in charge, and we become bound to what we see, hear, feel, taste, and smell. That becomes our compass. These things are byproducts of its producer. It was to be useful in serving him. It was the spirit of man that was top priority to God. The senses are tools to help us while in the body. They were never meant to be the self-serving thing they've turned out to be. You have to use these assets the way the Maker intended for us to use them. If you don't use them to benefit the kingdom, then you do not function properly. No matter how many things we put in our arsenal of self-defense and our need to feel important, we can't find the fulfillment we seek. Even ministry does not produce it. It can come real close to it, and sometimes we feel that satisfaction and but we mistake it for the whole thing, and we become deceived. For years, I've had tremendous seasons of sensing the closeness of the manifestation of the things that God has promised me and created for me and in me. I've touched it. I've felt it in a lot of forms, and I've partaken of this mystery and its rewards, but I only maintain it for portions of time. I could never bring myself to the point of the surrender necessary, and I knew the price tag was to die. Sometimes I begged for it. Sometimes I preferred it, but the flesh is strong and desires to live. I'm not speaking here of physical death. I am speaking of the death of self-desire, and so the battle continued, but I never gave up. You know, we often feel lonely and unfulfilled. Sometimes this feeling can be suffocating. I remember one time going through a difficult time, walking up suddenly with a rush of emptiness like I'd never known. And I had to be in a place where even my sleep didn't help me, because I would wake up feeling like that. I couldn't hardly breathe. It was as if something living was dead and I was left alive. I said, Lord, please send me someone into my life that can fill this void. And until I, you know, came to the understanding of the fullness of the Father, I felt somewhat relieved just to have prayed that prayer, but it didn't end there. I realize now that it was God calling me to my prayer closet so he could fill me with himself. And while I'm talking about this today, I'm thinking about a teaching I heard speaking how God's moves come out of the desert experience. And I suddenly had a thought concerning the word that God had given me about the voids and emptiness we feel. I had a mental picture of this vast desert, and there was nothing in it but me. And I said, Lord, why am I here in this empty place? Where are my friends, my feeling of security? Then I heard, now that everything is empty and nothing is taking up space, and you're in this desert, I have lots of room in which to fill with myself, and I will fill it if you do not resist me or try to replace me again with the things that I have just removed. We'll continue this study in part two of The Groaning Creation.
This podcast is a production of Brenda Price Ministries. If you enjoyed today's podcast on the series, The Groaning Creation, we encourage you to get the book that goes along with it. That can be found at our website at www.brendapriceministries.weebly.com. That address again is www.brendapriceministries.weebly.com. Nothing else will do.